Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mentioned this morning a quote, another quote by John G. Lake. And actually, he made this part of the training manual in Seattle when he was training those first 16 to be what he called DHTs, which were divine healing technicians. And in the manual it says, "It is our intention to have disciples go door to door in every city, healing the sick until we have eradicated sickness and disease from the face of the earth." I'd call that a vision. Wow. That'll stretch you a little bit, isn't it? You know? But I believe he got that from the Lord. I think that was the Lord's intention from the beginning. That we would do that very thing. Dave stretched me so much talking about emptying out children's hospitals. I mean, that's a stretch. I never even had a thought like that, really, till started listening to Dave. Come to find out, you know, there's even beyond there. But let's talk about your block first, anyway. My block, the street that I live on, okay? All right, now we're going to talk practical things about the anointing tonight. Do a little review from last week. Go to Judges 13 and put a marker in 1 Samuel 16. And we talked last week about Samson's anointing. And we don't want to lose what we gained there. People have all kinds of ideas about the anointing. I also, and I'm learning better now. You know, I'll jump ahead a few lessons. You're going to find out the anointing is not a thing. The anointing is a person. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. That's why you receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit, he plainly told me one time, he says, "I am the anointing." He is the molecule changer. And you see that all the way from Genesis to maps in your Bible. Even right there at the beginning, it was the Holy Spirit that was hovering, brooding over the face of the deep, just waiting for the command to be spoken. And his power works in conjunction with the spoken word of God when that word of God is spoken in real faith. I won't do the light be thing again, but I still believe it. Light be. Holy Spirit is still manifesting that. Amen. But now, when you start thinking about the anointing, see, I have been so drunk in the anointing. There was one time at Pastor LaRue's church in Houston where the anointing, my body couldn't handle it. And so if I would have taught from experience from that, I mean, I was so drunk. I had two men holding me up, and I couldn't even lift my hand to put it on people. Another guy would take my hand, and when they put it on somebody, the power would whammo. And so if I was just going to teach from experience, I say, "No, what you got to do is you got to get so drunk. You can't, got to get drunk in the Holy." See, but really, as I've matured, I don't ever see Jesus operating like that. I don't ever see the disciples operating like that. You don't see it in the Word of God. So you don't base your doctrine on experience. The Word of God determines your experience. Amen. So as I look back on it now, all that really was, I was so unaccustomed to the anointing. My body didn't know what to do with it. But see, we're supposed to grow up. The anointing is going to become as natural to you as eating breakfast. You hear me? It's going to become a natural, normal, it's just part of who you are. But again, because I'm jumping way ahead, but the anointing is not a thing, really. The anointing is a person. All right, so let's look at Judges chapter 13. Now, the verses I'm after are verse 24 and 25. We're going to talk about Samson. I heard a preacher say this recently. It's too good not to include it. Look at verse 22. "And Manoah said unto his wife, 'We shall surely die because we've seen God.'" Only reason I'm doing that is I didn't know until just recently the name of Samson's father. Come to find out, it's Manoah. Wouldn't you think it would be Sam? I mean, where do you get Sam's son, you know? "Oh, yeah, I know Sam. This is his son." Okay, I thought that was just too good to pass up. All right. Just get down to the real thing. Verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the thing I want you to notice is in this verse, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him, now notice, at times, in the camp of Dan beyond Zorah and Eshtol. So now the Holy Spirit wasn't upon him all the time. The Holy Spirit moved him at times. All right? Now that's better than nothing at all. Okay? Pretty much in the Old Testament, the average person could not hear God for themselves. They did not have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. If you wanted to hear from God, you'd had to go through the priest, the prophet, or the king, and usually the prophet. Okay? But your average person really had very little access to God. Now, you could read that very story right there. Here, God talked with Manoah and through an angel, but he talked to them, Manoah and his wife, and told them what was about to come and everything. But it's very unusual, okay? And the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson at times. But now, we learned last week, Samson did not look like Samson that we see in all the movies. Because if he had looked like that Dave Roberson, you remember when Dave would do, he'd comb his hair and flex the muscles, and him and Arnold are, they're lifters, you know. And, I mean, if Samson would have looked like that, some kind of massive bodybuilder, then they wouldn't have been surprised when he showed off his strength. They would have said, oh, look at the 24-inch biceps, that's where he gets his strength. But Samson probably looked more like Wally Cox or Barney Fife. Napoleon Dynamite. And they couldn't understand. They look at this little scrawny guy. And when the Spirit of the Lord was on him, boy, you talk about power. He ripped the whole gates to a city. You ever seen those movies? They're big, you know. And the bar was still in the gate. He just picked the whole thing up, walk off, and the guy looks like Wally Cox while he's doing it. And how in the world? Now, the point of that is the anointing is there for you to do what is not humanly possible. And it's not based on you or your muscles. Peter said, it's not based on me or my own holiness. It's that name and faith in that name that releases the supernatural power. You got that part? But now the other lesson, the point from last week, which you have to have. See, if I would have just based my understanding of the anointing on that one experience in Houston at Pastor LaRue's, I'd say, well, I'm anointed when I feel like that. When I feel drunk, you know, that's how I know I'm anointed. I get, whoa, you know. No. When the last week we learned from reading after Samson, when that anointing, when the Holy Spirit left him, he did not know it had left him. Now, what does that tell you? Get this straight. The anointing is not a feeling. Right? If you don't have that written down, you need to write it down. The anointing is not a feeling. You can't go by, oh, I feel anointed today. Well, it's like everything else. If I went by how I feel, a lot of days I wouldn't even believe I'm saved. Are you kidding me? Much less anointed. Someday, and I don't even know why, and nothing could even necessarily be wrong. You ever wake up with a blue day and don't know why? You got to fight your way out of it, you know? So you can't live by feeling. So get this straight. The anointing is not a feeling. You can't go by that. Oh, by the way, one other point, because he's not letting me off of it. Samson is listed in the hall of faith because he would step out in faith. It says he would shake himself. I don't know exactly what that means. I think the New Testament equivalent, he would stir himself up. And that's when he would do the supernatural things by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Okay? But he didn't know it had left him. So he tried to stir himself up again, and it wasn't there. But he's listed in the hall of faith because he didn't do those miracles by feeling. He did it by faith. He didn't feel nothing. He just stirred himself up or shook himself and stepped out in faith, and the Holy Spirit moved. Amen? So he's listed in the hall of faith, not the hall of feeling. Hebrews 11 is what I mean by that. All right, now, I'm not going to teach this as doctrine yet, but see, this reminds me how Samson operated, where the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him at times. That reminds me of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, when writing to the Corinthian church, very carnal, very babyish, he says, I'd like to give you meat, I can only give you milk, you're split, divided, you're carnal, all of that. But they came behind in no gift. So it's as the Spirit wills, though. See, it's sporadic. I've seen miracles by the gifts of the Spirit. You have too. God may have used you in the gifts. But in those, you never know. See? With Jesus, you always knew. He's not training. Now, the gifts are going to operate through you, but they're going to operate through you as a mature child of the living God, not as a baby Christian on milk. Amen? But Samson's anointing reminds me of that. I'm not saying exactly it's a type and a shadow, but it was at times. And that's kind of the way the gifts are. Well, when they're there, miracles flow. And when they're not in manifestation, it's not the same. That's not the type of anointing you have. The type that we have, you know, I always say to the Lord, I'm not going to teach it unless you can show me three witnesses. And I want two from the new and at least one from the old. Okay? Because if it's real, it casts a shadow. Amen? All right? So let's look at the type that you have. And that's David's anointing. So go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And y'all know the story, but I'm going to read a little of it to you anyway. We'll just get the last of it. Now, as you know, King Saul was the first king of Israel. God didn't even really want him to have a king, but they wouldn't let him alone. They wanted a king like the other nations. And there's a real telling verse. I didn't look it up, but it said, you know, the thing about Saul, he stood head and shoulders above your average Israelite. He was impressive in the flesh. Okay? He's a type of the first man, Adam, the first one that had dominion on planet Earth. And he started off okay. So did Adam. Started off okay, but it didn't end okay. Amen? What was Adam's sin? Disobedience. What was Saul's sin that cost him the anointing? Disobedience. There's so many parallels. Okay? But now the time comes where God is choosing a second king. It's type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man after God's own heart. And that's King David. So we'll pick it up here in 1 Samuel 16. And we'll stop. We'll pick it up in verse 6. And it came. Now Samuel has come to Jesse's house. Jesse, the Lord has revealed that one of Jesse's sons is going to be the next king. And so they're basically bringing the sons by one by one. Samuel's listening to the Lord to see which one it's going to be. So verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on. And forgive me for my pronunciation of these names ahead of time. Eliab. Why couldn't they just name them Bob and Jim and Bill? Anyway. Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Oh, see, I didn't even realize. And on the height of his stature. See, this one's going to be different than the first one. I didn't realize that was in there. But I remembered it about King Saul. King Saul was a tall dude. He was impressive. Head and shoulders. Isn't that interesting that that's in here? Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as other men seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. So then Jesse made Shama to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, well, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, well, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keeps the sheep. Now, see, there's so much written there. Jesse was so sure that it wasn't David. He didn't even bring him in to be considered. You ever feel rejected? Anyone ever tell you you're not going to make it? Anyone tell you you're never going to amount to anything? You just go tend the sheep? So Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now watch the difference. See, again, Samson is a type also of the first flesh, strength. Samson is a type of the first man, Adam. Okay? The flesh. David is a type of the last man, Adam. David is a type of Jesus. Okay, now watch the difference in the anointing. Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. That's, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now see the difference? The Holy Spirit does not come and go with you. The Holy Spirit has come to abide with you forever. In fact, I looked that verse up. It's real familiar to you. You might want to make a note of it, but it's John 14:16. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. How long? Forever. I wrote a lesson one time. I'm not saying the Lord said it this way, but it's the way that it impacted me when he was talking with me. And I think the title of the lesson is something like this. The Holy Spirit is stuck with me. He has no option. The Lord sent him to abide with Gary forever. On those days when I feel like, yes, where are the sick? Wah, wah, power in my hands. Let me get my hands on them. On those days. And then the other days, why was I born? I'm not even sure I'm saved. I don't think anybody likes me. I do everything wrong. You didn't know I had those days? Well, we try not to show it. The Holy Spirit is as with me on that day as he is on the day when I feel like a conqueror. This whole thing is not by feeling. Do you understand that? On your worst day, the Holy Spirit is with you. Holy Spirit is in you. I like that. You don't have the Holy Spirit at times. Yes, sir. Okay. Go to Luke 9. Here he goes again, acting like it's his service. He knows I'm teasing. Now we're going to, again, even as we look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are still types and shadows of what you have. Listen, Jesus said about John the Baptist, of all the prophets that have ever been born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. I used to have so much trouble with that verse because John the Baptist never did any miracles. He never raised anybody from the dead. He never made the axe head float. He on and on and on. You can go back and look at the other prophets. He never slew 400 prophets of Baal. Mount Carmel, where fire fell from heaven. You know, yet Jesus, who cannot lie, says, there's never been a prophet greater than John the Baptist. That one took a while to get the understanding of what he meant. See, because what is the definition of a prophet? A prophet speaks the words of God. Either knowledge right now or foretelling. Amen? Well, all of the Old Testament prophets, no matter the power they walked in, they all had the basic message, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Now, they had different personalities and different miracles, but that was the basic message. The Messiah is coming. But only John the Baptist had this message. The Messiah is here. The Messiah is here. So I understood when it comes to a prophet, he's the greatest because he had the greatest message. Amen? Now, but then he says something even more difficult. He said, even though that's true about John the Baptist, he's the greatest that ever was. Now get this. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. The least person I don't care if you can, you know, however you look at yourself, you might think you're the little toenail on the little toe of the body of Christ. You might think you're the dirt under that toenail. I don't know. But if you're in the body, you're greater than John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist did not have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of him. And you do. You do. We don't know who we are yet. We don't know what he's given us yet. See? But with King David, when he was anointed... Now, by the way, the fact that he was anointed king, what was Samuel there to do? Anoint David as king. And the Spirit of the Lord came on him that day. From that day forward, he's king as far as God's concerned. But in the world, it was a long time before he was took up his kingship. Okay? Saul had to die. Well, there's lots of lessons we could teach right there. But you got to understand, there was no manifestation of power the day that he was anointed. Did you see that? But the Holy Spirit came on him when the power showed up? No, the Holy Spirit says came on him from that day forward. Jesus says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He wasn't just talking to the 11, was he? How many was in the upper room? 120. Wasn't his mother in the upper room? How many of them received the baptism in the Holy Ghost? How many spoke in tongues? 120. So if they all received the Holy Ghost, didn't they all receive power? Amen. So did you. Now the Holy Spirit came upon you to abide from the day you received him. And you have got exactly the same Holy Ghost that Jesus had. Did you hear all those amens right there? I know you're thinking, you're pondering. What? What? You have got the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. You have got the same. There's not two Holy Spirits. You've got the same Holy Spirit that came on Samson. You got the same Holy Spirit that came on David. You got the same Holy Spirit that moved through the Apostle Paul. Now you got to start understanding that's who you are. And you have him whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it. You've got him on your good days. You've got him on your bad days. You know what he's really waiting for? He's not waiting on your feeling. He's waiting on the words of the gospel to come out of your mouth with faith. Boy, I said that real good right there. That's what he's waiting on. Because the gospel is the power of God. Right? That's Mark 6. Hold your place in Luke 9. Go to Mark 16 just for a moment. I know you almost, but your Bibles will probably fall open to Mark 16 here pretty soon. Now he's trying to bring us, yes he is, he's trying to bring us higher, raising the bar, raising the standard to where he left it. This is the gospel and nothing else is. Okay? Verse 14, he says, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's to the 11. They're supposed to go and preach. And if we read Matthew's account, he was a little more specific. He says, teach them everything that I taught you. Whatever I taught you, I want you to teach them. Now, so the 11 go and do that, and he that believeth, he who? He that heard what was preached. This is not the 11 now. He's talking about those that heard the message that the 11 preached. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, if you haven't underlined it yet, underline the word signs. These are signs to the unbeliever. These signs shall follow them that believe. How many in here believe? Raise your hand or I'm going to give an altar call right now. Okay. We're believers, right? Them that believe, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Say it with me. I am a devil master. Even the devils are subject to me. In the name of Jesus Christ. I am a hot stove. and flies don't land on me. He has given me authority over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. When I speak, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. I am God's child, Satan's master, and man's servant. See, that's who you really are. Wake up on a blue Monday, though. Don't even know if you say, we got to quit living by that stuff, see. Like, now, I'm more and more, it sounded foreign to me at first, Smith Wigglesworth. Now I understand better. I don't ask Smith how he feels. I tell Smith how he feels. See? Isn't that good? Yeah. It's a lot easier to preach than it is to do, I'll tell you that. Okay. Some of those Mondays, I first heard Dave say this, some of those Mondays I wake up feeling so low, I feel like I could crawl under a snake's belly with a top hat on. And I'm the one wearing the top hat, not the snake. What has that got to do with the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Not a thing. Not a thing, see. The Holy Spirit has come on you to abide. He is stuck with you, if you'll allow me. He's with you. If you go to the bar, He's going with you. Did I say that? I'm not looking at anyone for him. Mary's back there. I ain't going. I ain't going, Gary. I ain't going. Oh, I didn't finish. Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Okay, I know I'm in the right crowd. They shall take up serpents. Now, that's accidentally, not on purpose in a service. He didn't say, thou shalt be stupid. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Do you realize how supernatural that is? If you're out there preaching and your enemies try and poison you, if you have faith in that verse, the Holy Spirit will neutralize the poison. Now, the world doesn't think you've gone crazy, you go believing that. No, they're the ones crazy. You're the one with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And now we're to it. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, that has got to become bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. That's got to become as much you as you know your name or anything else about you. You are one of those. It's good to say it. Say, I am a believer. When I lay my hands on the sick, they recover. Okay, I'm going to leapfrog you ahead now for accountability. The day will come, it's going to dawn on you how much in service to your fellow man you really are. If you don't lay your... What's the converse of that? If they don't lay their hands on the sick, many of them will die. Isn't that the truth? They don't... I mean, so that sounds arrogant. No, it sounds like Mark 16. If they lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And if they don't, okay, your life is not your own. How many times did Dave warn us ahead of time? You better enjoy your life, your free time, your spare time. He said, when revival really breaks out, you just be begging for a little cot in a corner. Can I just get a little nap? Can I just sleep 15 minutes? Because there's 100 people lined up outside. It's going to die if we don't lay your hands on them. But it's also called revival. You're going to be a happy camper. I remember Dave so many times, he'd say, when it's your hand on that little blind child, born blind, you lay your hand on that little child in Jesus' name. Maybe they came in with white eyes. You ever seen a white-eyed child? I have. You lay your hand on them in the name of Jesus. Command healing. And the little pupil begins to swirl. Pretty soon that little child's looking at you and they can see. It's going to be worth it, my friend. Amen. David said, you're going to be a happy camper on that day. The thing of it is, it's not going to be by the gifts of the Spirit this time. It is the gifts. So I'm not belittling that. But it's a permanent residency. Permanent residency. We'll function like Jesus did. What would you have me do for you? What would you like off of God's table? I'm here to serve you. Good stuff. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now watch this. Then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now notice their part. They went forth and did what? They preached everywhere. They did what he told them. Now, it's not a mystery what they were preaching. You can go right back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find out what they were preaching. He taught them, the 11 taught them what he had taught the 11. Isn't that right? He told them what to teach. So it's not a mystery. So they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with, noticed them as in italics. Now, in a way, he's working with them. But it's not in the original Greek, so it helps me to take it out. The Lord working with and confirming what? What was he confirming? The Word with signs following. And really, that following in English doesn't really present it. It means with signs accompanying. What they preached, the Lord would do. You got it? The anointing, how do I say this? You're the least important part of that equation. Get over yourself. Your job is to preach what he said. Your charisma, in the natural, yes, people by their own natural gifts and speaking abilities and things, yes, they can use that to draw people. That's okay. There's really nothing wrong with that. But that's not where the power of the gospel comes from. The power of the gospel comes from the words and faith in those words. It is that name through faith in that name. And that can be done through Wally Cox, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and everybody in between. Amen? Now, when I said you're the least important, what I mean is it's not your personal holiness. It's not your own power. Anybody who preaches this, yes, sir, he's bringing to my mind, remember the no-name guy? The no-name guy, they said, we saw this guy, and he was casting out devils in your name. Now, they didn't say he was trying to. They said he was getting her done. He's casting out devils in your name, Lord. But we stopped him. Why? He wasn't in our group. Jesus said, if he's not working against me, he's for me. Don't be stopping people doing miracles. And no man can do a miracle in my name and then lightly speak a word against me. Amen. And I know he's in there on purpose. He is a no name and left on purpose as a no name to give all of us no names hope. It's not based on you. That's what I was trying to say. We don't even know the guy's name, but the guy had faith. He had faith in the name of Jesus. He believed Jesus was who he said he was. And he just set out to do it. And glory, behold, the Holy Spirit manifested the word and cast out devils when he spoke. That's good. Now, if he'd do it for that no name, won't he do it for you? Mr. and Mrs. No, and Miss No Name? Hallelujah. Go back to Luke 9. Because really, Luke here, even Luke, we're going to look at the 12 and then the 70. This is actually a type and a shadow, though. These guys were not born again yet. Even as we look at this, see? Yes, sir. I'm so full of messages. I have to be sure it's not me, and it's him. Just a moment. Okay, hallelujah. Well, you'll get the interpretation as I preach here, okay? Listen. As you read the Gospels, you're going to identify with somebody. Usually, if you're sick, you identify with the sick person. You know, a woman with the issue of blood, what did she do? I need to do what she did. Or you know, and that they're okay. That's okay. There's faith in that. But see, he wants to move you a little higher. Hopefully, at this point, we're at least relating to the disciples. You know, he anointed them. Let's just read it here. Luke 9. Is that where I said? Luke 9, Luke 12 won't work. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. There you have both. Power and authority over how many devils? All devils and to cure what? That looks like a blank check to me. Power over all devils and and to cure diseases. So hopefully at least we start identifying with the 12. These guys are not even born again. They have his commissioning. Dave would say it's like he put his mantle on them for a temporary service. See, this really is a counted authority. Okay? Which is way below what you have. We're going to get to it in a minute. But even in the type and the shadow, you can read it here. He said, look how he sends them out. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to pray for the sick. Is that what your Bible says? Man, that went off in me like a bomb sometime during the last 6 months. He did not send them to pray for the sick. He's not sending us to pray for the sick. He's sending us to heal the sick. Previews. You either have dominion over sickness or you do not. But which is it? What does the Bible say? You do. The devil knows it. God knows it. Do you know it? You are a master over sickness and disease. Look at that. Power and authority. That'll get her done right there. If you have both power and authority, he gave them power and authority over all devils. Can't go there. And to cure diseases. Now, this is under the shadow. These guys are not born again. This is a temporary mantle of accounted authority. Let's look at the 70. Go over to the next chapter, Luke 10, verse 1. Now, I want you to notice this word, appointed. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So now we got 12, and we got 70. We got 82. Isn't that right? 82 of them, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Now again, this is the shadow. These guys are not born again. They don't have the Holy Ghost in their belly. This is how they got experience with the Holy Ghost, and that's why Jesus in John 14 tells them, now he's with you, that you know what it is for him to be with you. You've seen his work as he goes with you, but listen, he shall be in you. And when they returned, okay, let's come on down to verse 9. There's so much here. We've got like 7 minutes. He gives them all these instructions. But look at verse 8. And whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Now, verse 9. I'm going to do it on purpose. And pray for the sick. See it? Here it is again. He did it with the 12. Now he's doing it with the 70. Heal the sick. How can they do that? Because he gave them power and authority over it. Doesn't even matter if it's a devil or a germ. You understand what I'm saying there? Doesn't matter if it's supernatural or natural. Either one, you're the master. In my name, heal them. No wonder he was upset. See, when he come down off that mountain, y'all do know that Matthew 17 comes later than these events here. They were already healing the sick and casting out devils, and he was upset when they couldn't get the devil out of that boy. Anyway, that's another. We've had a lot of good teaching on that. And look, let's go to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. Well, you will too. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto you. I'm waiting to see if you're listening. That's not what it says. These guys are not even born again. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. This is why the Lord, I believe, is having Alan teach what he's teaching about maturity at the same time that he has me teaching about this side of the sword, okay? A two-edged sword. Because right here, as humans, try and comprehend that we really are kings and priests and lords and have authority. There's something in the human ego that without the purging of the Holy Spirit, you start thinking you're some kind of hot rod. You start thinking you're something. And this is what happened to John Alexander Dowie. He finally got to the place, well, I must be Elijah to come. You know, I'm just different. Branham, the same thing. Some demon convinced Branham, and I'm not downgrading these guys. I thank God for William Branham. I thank God for John Alexander Dowie. But they convinced Branham that he was the only human ever born with a jaw that was configured in the right shape to properly say the word Yahweh. That would bring the Lord back to earth. Oh, I know. People are going, what? Because he had astounding miracles, see. And I believe this is why the Lord has Alan teaching on maturity. Listen, let the Holy Ghost purge you. You learn to follow him. You learn to follow his voice. Okay? But at the same time, he's trying to get you to understand you are a devil master. You are a sickness master. You have been given power and authority over every disease. And the devils are subject to you, not him. You. Now, I know it's Christ in you, but still it's you. When you show up, devils should tremble. Instead of us, oh, the devil's after me. Let's start going after him. Our intention is to go door to door, healing the sick until we have driven sickness and disease from the face of the earth. That's who you are. That's who you are right there. Okay, now I just barely got time to introduce this part. We saw how Samson, when he got his anointing. We saw how David, when he got his anointing. When did Jesus get his anointing? It's the day he was baptized in the River Jordan. Now, he was born a king. He was born a king from birth by inheritance. But without going through it again, you know what happened there at the day he was baptized by John. And really, that is his coronation day. When he was let down in the water, from God's point of view, he was dying in the place of Adam. That symbolized his death. In God's point of view, the whole species of Adam died right there. When he was raised up, that's his faith in the resurrection that God was going to raise him up. That's why when Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, as far as God was concerned, the first Adam is dead. Who can I appoint now as King and Lord? This is my son. This today, thou art my son in whom I'm well pleased. He was crowned as king that day. And that's why the Holy Spirit descended on him to enforce the dominion of a king. Amen. Listen, there is no such thing as a king without dominion. What, you ever hear of a king that doesn't have a kingdom? You ever have a king that has no dominion? There's no such thing as that. The Holy Spirit was given to Jesus to enforce the dominion of the kingdom. He saw the whole world lieth in the power of the wicked one. That's why Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with a who, not a what. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The king had come to enforce the dominion of the king. And there's this oppressor that's been holding all the people in bondage and sickness and death and possession. And everywhere that the king comes, the Holy Spirit comes to enforce the dominion. And then he says, now you go. You go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, you go. He said in John 17, Father, as thou hast sent me, so now I am sending them. But we have got to believe it. And we have got to act on it. And quit being so afraid. And yes, please continue praying in tongues. Please continue fasting. Please continue doing those things that mortify the flesh. Keep your ego tender and humble before the Lord. But listen to me. The day you got born again, you were born a king. You are not a king by accounted authority. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. When did you become a king? You were born that way. Born a king. You're a king by inheritance. See, I said earlier, at one point, you probably identify with a sick person if you're sick. Hopefully, we rise a little bit and we start identifying with the disciples who are at least operating now. But see, there's really only one person in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that you can look to as an example. And that is Jesus himself. And guess who's in you? It's not the 11. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. You're born a king. And why did God give you the Holy Spirit? So you can go forth and enforce the dominion of the kingdom. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Not after we get to heaven. On earth now, even as it is in heaven. You can't do that without the power of the Holy Ghost. There's no such thing as a king without a dominion. Your dominion goes wherever you go. Now say it with me. I have the Holy Spirit. Not at times. But all the time. The Holy Spirit is stuck with me. He abides in me forever. And I have received power. Now that I've received the Holy Ghost, I submit my will to the will of the King who wants me going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil in his name, for the Holy Ghost is with me. Amen. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Now, are you only anointed on feel good days? Hold out your hands. It's good for you. Hold out your hands. Let's do it this way. Hold out your arms and look at the end of them. Is there hands? Huh? You're equipped. Do you have the name of Jesus? You're equipped. Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? You're equipped. I'm going to talk to you after the service. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. All right. That's enough for right now. Okay. Now, do y'all have to leave before the end of the service? Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and start the confessions now. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. Now, as we move forward on this, we're going to go tonight still mostly what I would call doctrine. Okay. We're going to get more and more hands-on things that you literally are going to run into as you start laying hands on the sick to see them recover. I'll just tell you this. At our house now, at our ministry, rather, Angie, I'm having her keep a log. Now, I'm not interested in YouTubing for fame, like Alan was talking about this morning. I am interested in the percentage of answered prayer. You understand me? So we're keeping track of the ones where they get answered and the ones where they didn't. You mean, Gary, sometimes, listen, when I pray for someone to recover and they have to have surgery to recover, my prayer did not get answered. Is that plain enough? Now, it's fine. You have to locate where they are because sometimes that's what they want. And if that's what they want, that's fine. But that's not the case that I'm thinking of. That's not what they were thinking. They wanted God to supernaturally heal them. But it had to be done by surgery. Well, I thank God for the surgeons. We're not against doctors. I thank God for that. But in my mind, that goes down as a failure because that's not what we prayed for. Faith does not back off. All right? When we pray, we shall have it. What did he say? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Now, if I didn't get it, it means I did not believe I received when I prayed. I'm going to be as honest as I know how to be on this thing. But our percentage is going to go up. Amen? All right.